Next, I'm honored to introduce you to Marie Cope. You may know her from Holy Trinity Catholic Bookstore, where she's been manager for the last 15 years. Marie teaches her employees to regard their job as an apostolate, to enkindle the faith with beautiful devotional items and good reading material.
As you can see in the book, The 33 Days to Morning Glory, we are not bound to any particular formula when pronouncing our consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary. You can certainly speak from your heart in your own words. But since we are going to say it together as a parish on August 15th, Father Bernie wants us to use the classic formula composed nearly three centuries ago by St. Louis de Montfort. But first of all, let's not feel intimidated by consecrating everything to Mary. Consecration is not exclusive. Many of us have consecrated ourselves to the Sacred Heart. Some feel drawn to consecrate themselves to St. Joseph. So if you're friends with, say, Tom, it doesn't mean that you can't be friends with Jane and Harry and many other people. Our relationship to Tom isn't the same as with Harry. Each friendship is special and unique, and no true friend is jealous that we have another friend. On the contrary, a true friend rejoices that I have many friends. Mary is the best of friends, and she is never jealous. She'll introduce you to even more of her friends, the saints. This isn't to say that consecration isn't serious. We are truly giving everything to Mary. By giving her everything, we are giving her first dibs. For example, if you want to offer our Holy Communion tomorrow for Aunt Lucy's recovery, Mary has the right to decide that Aunt Lucy doesn't need the Holy Communion nearly as much as someone else on the other side of the world whose salvation is in peril. Mary can claim our offering as her own, but you can be sure she'll offer a powerful prayer for Aunt Lucy. To keep your consecration fresh in your mind, you might get into the habit of saying, "Lord, if your mother gives permission, then I offer such and such for this intention." Remember that consecration lets Mary enhance our offerings. St. Louis says in his book, True Devotion, "Mary sets our gift to God on the golden dish of her virtues." Wow, that's neat. "Adorning our good deeds with her own graces." Let's look at the language employed by St. Louis de Montfort. It's very formal. He was living in an age of kings and queens. In his day, a person did not speak to a member of the nobility in the same one would speak to a commoner. The language seems a bit extravagant to us, but it does remind us who we are talking to, the King of Kings and the Queen of Queens. St. Louis begins, "O eternal and incarnate wisdom." This title is rather peculiar to de Montfort. He founded a religious congregation of sisters and named it the Daughters of Wisdom. He liked to pray to Mary under the title Seat of Wisdom. Everything about de Montfort was prophetic, far ahead of his time. In his day, almost all religions revered a supreme being of vast intelligence. But today, the wisdom of God is denigrated to a mindless force, a mere stream of energy. So it's very beautiful that we begin our consecration with this act of reparation to the dignity and personhood of our Creator and Savior. De Montfort was also always asking for wisdom. "O Mother of Mercy, procure for me the grace to obtain the true wisdom of God." St. Louis felt that he was living at the beginning of the age of Satan, and he wanted to know how to combat Mary's great enemy. De Montfort died at the age of 43 in 1716, 1 year before the first meeting of the Society of Freemasons, who would inaugurate a long-standing plan to bring down the Catholic Church. This year is the Centenarium of Fatima, and it is also the tricentenary of Freemasonry. This is not a coincidence. The next thing that might strike you is that De Montfort is obsessed by calling himself a slave. Well, De Montfort is not a man of half measures. When he offers his life to Mary's service, he's all in. But where did he learn about this slavery? He says right here in the formula, I give you thanks that you, Jesus, have annihilated yourself, taking the form of a slave in order to rescue me from the cruel slavery of the devil. I praise and glorify you, and you have been pleased to submit yourself to Mary, your holy mother, in all things. De Montfort wore little chains, constantly reminding him that he was the property of Mary. Then there's the language of self-accusation. I am a sinner. I have not fulfilled my obligations. I do not deserve to be called your child. I merit your anger. I dare not come by myself before your majesty. Most of us are strongly influenced by a modern saint who taught the little way of confidence. She declared that no matter what crime she had committed, she could not doubt God's great love and eagerness to forgive, and she would jump into his lap. Louis was living in the beginning of the age of Genesism, and it was the mission of St. Therese to counteract the excessive fear of God that the Dutch theologian Cornelius Jansen had inspired in so many Catholics. There's an old-fashioned word in this formula that we might be tempted to retranslate. I am a faithless sinner. Later in the same paragraph, he prays to be more faithful to him than I have ever been before. So faithless could mean unfaithful. After all, the nature of committing a sin is to be unfaithful to our promises at baptism. But I suspect the old-fashioned word has never been updated because it also hints at a lack of faith. Did St. Louis foresee this era or so much loss of faith? Our act of consecration offers reparation for many sins in the world and gives glory and consolation to the hearts of Jesus and Mary. Thank you, St. Louis de Montfort, for teaching us how to do this even before Mary began asking for it in her apparitions.